Pretty glad I stayed up for that last night. Probably should have pulled the chew. Just read about it the next morning. 8:30.
Ended up being 8:50.
8:50?
In this economy,
yeah,
Gabe?
It kept rolling. Like, they kept rolling the time back. It started at 8:30, then it was 8:40, and then because, you know, the Celtics and Nets had to play a really good game that took a little bit longer.
It was a really good game, by the way. No, like,
it
let's,
was. I mean,
let's not begrudge them for having a fantastic playoff game.
But the game got rolled back to 8:50 Central. How are the Bucks and Bulls playing the second game? Isn't the Western Conference also playing? How are we not staggering this correctly?
Ugh. Dragon this morning. Not enough caffeine in the county, guys, to get me through this morning. Oh, and by the way, the Bulls beat the Bucks. What? Like, we thought this was going to be a... Gabe, you said Bucks in three.
I did.
You thought that the Bulls would
just
lose
quit.
So
yep.
badly they would just not even show up for the fourth game of the series.
Somebody tweeted at us this morning, Jen, saying that we owe Craig an apology. Like, no, first of all, never. Second of all, I'm still... Okay,
you're a universal toad. That's the problem. You're part of the 62% because I bet you voted like six times. I didn't vote. Ooh. Hit it again.
It's not a
slot
right? machine. What are we doing here?
I got to
vote multiple times, Florida.
Vote early, vote often.
God, am I well rested? Whoo!
Great. You can carry the show this morning, NBA guy.
I mean, in fairness, Chewy can talk about the first game because, I mean, we talk about the Bucks. Chewy's got the rest of the NBA.
Oh, fantastic. So tell me more about the Celtics and the Nets and how it looks like the Celtics are going to roll in that one because Kevin Durant doesn't like to watch. He likes to ball watch, apparently, according to, who was that this morning? Max Kellerman on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Anyway, 114-110, the final score. Bucks cannot go up 2-0 on the Bulls. Bulls were playing inspired basketball last night. It was almost as though they got kicked in the mouth so badly in game one. They were like, nah, man, this isn't how our story's going to go. Because I really did. There were times in the game where I was like, I'm not panicking. Plenty of time. Bulls are going to go. Why'd I do that? Bucks are going to go on the run. It's not fair that it's B-U-B-U, by the way. It's BS is what it is. So I thought that the Bucks...
You needed to take a shower this morning.
I thought that the Bucks would be able to go on a run. And to their credit, they did, right? There were times in the game where they did answer the bell. They were able to go on a run. But the Bulls just kept answering. They just kept answering. There was a possession in the fourth quarter. I'm so frustrated about staying up so late for this game and then them losing, guys. It's like really irritating me. There was a possession in the fourth quarter game where I think Bulls missed, got their own rebound. Bulls missed, got their own rebound, and then ended up converting. And I was like, you can't let that happen.
Nope.
And that seemed to be like a trend, not necessarily the offensive boards, but just the Bucks seeming a little bit lacking of energy in moments that they needed to step on the throat and show the Bulls who was boss.
I think that, and we've got the sound from Kenny Smith, Ashton, like, to me, this says everything, and it goes back to what we talked about with the Bucks last year in terms of Coach Budenholzer. Does he make the right adjustments? And it seems like the Bucks came into this game going, oh, we just need to play better, where the Bulls actually did things to force the Bucks into some uncomfortable spots.
When you win,
you don't make adjustments.
You don't make adjustments. Yeah. It's like, nah, the game plan is... The gameplay.
Go out and do it again.
And then they have the advantage because they go, okay, well, you're not doubling me here, or you are doubling me here. And so we have to make an adjustment to it. Now, when we go back to Chicago, it's going to be interesting to see what Milwaukee does. Because they have responded. They've been the champs. And last year, a couple of times, they were on the ropes and came back and really played well. So we'll see if they make them this year.
And I think one of the things they'll end up doing is putting Giannis on Vucevic because he's the guy they want to screen. Brooke Lopez drops, and you are getting some good, easy mid-range looks for DeRozan. LaVine was able to get to the bucket a couple of times, hit a couple of threes. And I think with Giannis out there, it just gives you that little bit more athleticism that you need in order to try to kind of shake that Bucks defense up a little bit.
Does this smell a little of Super Bowl 32?
I think so.
Not quite as hungry? Because it's coming back to Milwaukee.
Well, I mean, it has to.
No, again.
So game
I think
seven?
This is going seven. Yeah. Well, Middleton's missing at least two games, right?
Probably.
Maybe more.
So I mean,
an MCL in the NFL is a 2-4. Not 2-4 games, 2-4 week injury. I'm not sure how that translates to
the
NBA.
That'd be the rest of the series, because, and maybe a little bit into the next series, depending upon how everything falls, because I think Game 7 would be a week from Sunday, is the way that
it to Game 7? If Middleton's out for the entire series?
It's up to Drew. Drew's got to be better. Like, Drew has to be better in order for the Bucks to keep this at five games.
Let me ask you a question, Gabe. What was your concern level at halftime? Halftime score 63-49, but it didn't feel out of reach. It didn't feel like it felt. But then I was a little concerned because the Bulls, Bucks, why does this keep happening to me? Why? What is this?
Is she looking at my hat and just saying it, probably?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Because Ashton came in today just trolling everybody wearing his Chicago Bulls hat.
Why can't I be happy for 5 seconds?
You can not happy. You can only be happy if I'm happy.
You're supposed to wear the hat at the start, you knucklehead.
I did. I wore
it
Sunday.
After they win a game.
It's a very good point. It's a very good point.
I'm just being a little more. Sorry for bringing out my confidence for the first time.
You should have worn the hat before the series started.
Yes.
Well, it's uncomfortable for us is what it is. You start elevating your confidence, and we don't know how to handle it. Now, how concerned were you at halftime?
I wasn't very concerned. I thought the Bucks were going to come out with the end, and they played pretty well in the third quarter. I mean, the run that the Bulls went on, it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, the Bucks had worked their way back into the game. Next thing, I think they closed it on like a 15-6 run or 15-4 run, something like that, the Bulls did to end the first half.
15-4, yep.
To build out that lead that they had at the end of the first half. I'm like, okay.
But you know what Milwaukee was doing, though?
They were down 9-0.
But you know what Milwaukee was doing? Back. They were chucking threes. Go down, chuck a three.
Yeah.
Go down, chuck a three. Like, you're better than that. You don't need to gobble up the points like that. Just get in your sets, run it through Giannis, get him inside, let him do his Euro step. I mean, again, what was frustrating is once Middleton went out, it was very obvious what the offense was going to be, right? Because as you said, now this is middle of the fourth quarter. Drew's having an off night. It's going to go through Giannis. So what are they doing? They're putting three guys inside on him, right? And they're daring him. All right, we dare you to go inside, Giannis.
And I don't know what happened to Chris for the first six quarters, but he was playing very passive. He wasn't playing aggressive. And I know Greg Anthony made a note of it on the TNT broadcast last night. Like, this isn't the Chris Middleton we're used to seeing. And then we saw that Chris in the third quarter where he is hitting shots. He's being
back
more
to back
aggressive.
Back-to-back threes, I think.
He's making those, you know, he's got eight assists. He's not turning the ball over because he's, like, not taking the usual mid-range shot that he usually takes. So we saw that Chris Middleton, and that's what's giving me confidence going in, and then he gets hurt in the fourth quarter during the middle of that Bulls run at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and it just kind of felt like everything fell flat after that.
Chewy, I loved what Kenny Smith said about the Bucks not making adjustments in game two because they had won the game, but what about halftime adjustments? Like, you've been in games before where you are the hunter instead of the hunted, and you feel confident about your game plan, especially when it works in game one or it's been working for you. Do you think, like, they're just not making adjustments well enough?
Yeah, that has something to do with it, but it just seems like these announcers, Kenny Smith and Barkley, want to go back to last year where it was all about Bud, right? Bud's terrible. Bud doesn't make adjustments. They're going to lose because of Bud. And I thought we were over that, but it seems like they're trying to relive that over again. But wasn't this game all about DeRozan playing out of his mind?
Well, I think getting back to kind of who he is, that's how he's been all season long. Weren't there points in the season, Gabe and Ashton, where he was being mentioned in MVP conversations?
Early half of the season.
Yeah, and he did, I think it was 9 or 10 straight games, he had 35-plus points in each of those games.
So for him to put up 41 last night, I feel like was kind of the DeRozan that Chicago got during the regular season. The game one performance by him was the anomaly.
Yeah, but I mean, the Bucks forced him into more of those anomalies than not during the regular season. Like, he wasn't going off for these big games against the Bucks.
So, Gabe, where are you at now? You said Bucks in three. Bucks in what now?
We go back to the culture. Well, it's Bucks in six. I think it just goes Bucks in six because the other thing we haven't talked about. Is Bobby going to be able to play? Because that's another thing when you want to talk about replacing Chris Middleton's 20 points per game. Like, Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton have to play better on the offensive end. But Bobby doesn't necessarily have to play better. He just has to play. Because he only played 6 minutes last night after taking an elbow to the eye, which I don't know how, like, there's no replay. We don't even look at it. We don't do any of that stuff. But if Bobby can't play in game three, eventually I think he'll be able to play. But who knows? Anytime you get hit in the eye, I mean, he was seeing double last night. Hopefully that goes away and he's able to play on Friday. But if he's unable to go, that just makes the Bucks so much shorter in terms of what they can go to on the bench and the rotations that they can go to. It's going to make things tough for the
Bucks. This is going to sound overly simplistic, but you got to start seeing more production from guys like Pat Connaughton. You got to start seeing more production from guys like Wesley Matthews, certainly from Drew. I mean, if Drew Holiday wants to be considered part of the big three, which he certainly deserves to be, and last night they were talking about him during the broadcast saying, is he the best two-way player remaining in the playoffs? And we're going, okay, we like his defense. We loved that article that Eric Name did with him where he was explaining his thought process on so many of these defensive schemes and how he gets in these guys' heads and things like that. But he has not been that Drew during this playoff series yet.
It was also an insult. I mean, Giannis has won a defensive player of the year. Like, he's right there, guys. He's in front of you. Like, how are we missing the guy who won the league MVP?
Well, to
and
be fair,
defensive
it was Gus Johnson on the call, and at one point I was like, can we just mute Gus Johnson?
You're
at one point, guys, he blatantly called Drew Holiday Wes Matthews.
That's true. He did. He had a three in the corner. I noticed that, too.
I was like,
in his defense, they were both wearing headbands.
Yes, they look very similar.
They both have hair, so.
If you're not sitting right up there on the court, oh, wait, they are.
Yes.
Oh, wait,
damn.
They've got the best vantage point.
Speaking of Wes, like, I don't think you can ask more out of Wes. Other than maybe
hit
his two. Yeah, he made three threes. He finished with 11 points at this point in his career.
Check Wes's plus minus, though, for some reason.
It was minus 13. But he's out there for defense. So if he's giving you 11 points, like that's all
you're saying.
That's
gravy.
Can ask. Yeah,
that's gravy.
That's all you can ask for him out from an offensive standpoint.
What
you have
concerns
to ask more
you,
from Pat and Grayson if you're looking for that spot.
What concerns you most about the Bucks losing yesterday to the Bulls? Obviously, it's 1-1. Still, plenty of games left in the series. But is it the injuries? You're thinking about Middleton not knowing when he could come back. You're talking about Bobby Portis with the eye situation. Is it the turnovers? We didn't even talk about that yet. 21 in the first game, 15 in yesterday's game. This is a team that averages about 13. But when you're playing playoff basketball, you got to clamp it down. You can't be just handing the ball over to the opponent like that. And unfortunately, Chicago was taking advantage of those turnovers last night and taking advantage of even, like I said, their own missed shots, getting the offensive boards. A lack of energy, right? Because that seems to be something. I also wonder about what Kenny Smith said about the lack of adjustments. If there needed to be more recognition of like, oh, this isn't the same Bulls team that we played in game one. This isn't even the same Bulls team that we played in all of that sample size we had from the regular season. We got to adjust. Or is it as simple as something that Gabe said? Drew Holiday needs to play better. If you're a part of the big three and one of the big three is already out, you cannot be invisible, particularly offensively. And how many turnovers did you say that Drew had yesterday?
He had six. He's got 10 now in the two games. He only averaged 2.7 turnovers per game during the regular season.
Dan in Sheboygan, let's get to you very quickly. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Good morning, folks. I disagree with the whole notion of a big three. The Bucks won the title last year because Giannis scored 50 in a decided game. He played out of his mind. The gap between Giannis and his second and whoever the number two player is on the Bucks is tremendous. It's bigger than the gap of a lot of previous past champions. I mean, you take Middleton, Holiday, and Lopez, and I don't think there's a big gap between the three of them, really. Giannis plays out of his mind. The rest of those three have to collectively step up. He made up for all the deficiencies of all those guys. And for Bud. Bud is still Bud. He's still doing the same things he did last year. It's just other teams realize, okay, we can't let Giannis completely go nuts. If Giannis doesn't go nuts again, I think he's losing the second round. They almost lost in the second round last year to Kevin Durant. If he steps back like another foot, they lose that game.
Like, I agree. The scariest thing is the Celtics. Gabe, the Celtics.
Oh, the Celtics looked really good last
night. They're going to have an answer for Giannis, and if these peripheral players don't do anything, it's Celtics in six, baby.
I don't know. Okay.
I got to bring my hat out.
All right, Tony boy. Cool it with your little Celtics green shirt over there and just cool down for a second because I don't think that they have an answer for Giannis. Second of all, I will not stand for forever. Like, this happened last year. I will never, ever, 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 ever stand for Chris Middleton slander. This MF-er scored 40 points in a finals game last year. The series, the Bucks are down. The Bucks are down 2-1. Game four, what does K-Mid go out and do? Oh, just drops freaking 40 points on the Phoenix Suns in game four. Oh, you need a closeout game without Giannis? Oh, he's just going to casually drop 32 points. Had 38 points a couple other times last year. Like, yes, in game six, Giannis was tremendous and had the 50 points. And yes, of course, Giannis is the best player on this team. But Chris Middleton's really damn good. And the fact that we cannot recognize this universally as a Bucks fan base is still dumbfounding to me.